Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Pei Beis, of an Aleph, and we will begin on the second line, Avloi Nemucham. In our previous shiur, we had discussed the halacha of a davish b'minyan, something that is significant because it's sold by peace. The halacha is like bottle, it doesn't become bottle. And the Gemara had quoted the Machlokes of Yochanan and Reish Lakish. How do we define a davish b'minyan? Is it something that's always sold by the piece, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, or is it something that is sometimes sold by the piece? Eshadakam limnos or kol shadakam limnos. According to Reish Lakish, even something that's only sold sometimes by the piece is in the category of a davish b'minyan. So the Gemara had asked, if that indeed is the halacha, asked the Gemara, so then we learned a case where a piece of carbon chatos got mixed up with other pieces of carbon chatos, tamei chatos with tar chatos, and that it becomes bottle. And the question is, if according to Reish Lakish, as soon as it is an item that is sometimes sold by the piece, the halacha is it doesn't become bottle. So the question is, why does this carbon chatos piece of meat become bottled? And the Gemara said, because it was nemucha. We're not speaking when it's a whole piece of carbon chatos. It's referring to a situation where it's only part, it's already dissolved. If it's dissolved, it's certainly not a davish b'minyan. So ask the Gemara, avloi nemuach, according to this understanding of the Braisa, if it wasn't dissolved, my, the halacha would be loitala, that it doesn't become bottle. So ask the Gemara, the Braisa continued teaching us, adatani avachat tichash chatish tahira. If you have a piece of carbon chatis meat which is tar, shenas arva b'meyachat tichash chulin tahira, that got mixed up with 100 pieces of chulin which are tar, loitala. There we said that the halacha is that it's not bottle. And the reason the Gemara said that it's not bottle, we explained, is because that is not a situation where there's no hope. Because we could always sell that meat to a kohen who could eat both chulin meat and chatas meat. And that's why that was an example of something that doesn't become bottle. Ask the Gemara, we could have had a better example. We could have spoken about the chatas tamei that got mixed up with the other chatos and said, niflik l'misvid the dog. When is there halacha that the chatos meat gets bottled in the other in the tar chatos meat? B'med v'amamurim b'nemoichu, when it's dissolved, and that's why it's not a davish b'minyan. Avul nemoichu loitala, but if it's not dissolved, the halacha is that it shouldn't be bottled. So why do we have to speak about a difference? Ask them where it's chatos tomei getting mixed up in chatas tohor versus chatas tohor getting mixed up with chulin tohor. We could have said even in the case of chatas tameh getting mixed up with chatas tohor, there's a difference if it's nemucha when it's dissolved and therefore it can become bottle versus where it's loy nemucha and it can not become bottle. Answers the Gemara, taharis b'taharis adiflei. The Braisa preferred to speak about a case where there's pieces of chatas that are tahor that mixed up with chulin tahor, because even though what we're learning here is that tahor and tahor doesn't get bottled. The Gemara wanted to use that because even though, says the Rishonim, the Mishnah Masechta Trumas, Perek Hay Mishnah Dalet, teaches us a machloikus beishan beishillel, a bit truma tamei getting mixed up with truma tahira. But everybody in that Mishnah agreed that Truma Tahira that got mixed up with Truma Tahira that got mixed up with Chulin Tahar, that it's bottle. So we would think that maybe that's the case by Chatas Tahira that got mixed up with Chulin Tahira. That just like Truma Tahira that gets mixed up with Chulin Tahira becomes bottle, so too should be that locha when Chatas Tahira gets mixed up between Chulin Tahira, it should also become bottle. teaches us the our Brisa that is not the case. So ask the Gemara, or Shokish, that explained that the Brisa is speaking about a piece of Chatos that was Nimucha, that was dissolved. So Maishna Reisha, ask the Gemara, why in the Reisha, when we had Chatos Tameya that got mixed up with Chatos Tahira, that it's bottle, a Maishna Seifa, that when it's Chatos Tahira, that got mixed up with Chulin Tahira, it is not bottle. Why do we say that just because it doesn't involve a big loss, because it's still sellable to Kohanim, why shouldn't it become bottle? It answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Sheshib Rei Dravidi, the reason it doesn't become bottle is Reisha B'tumas Mashkin D'Rabbanon. In the Reisha, where it became Tamei, it was Tamei only Midrabbanon. That means the piece of meat came in contact with Mashkin, which are Torah. And Midaraisa, that the, in other words, the vessel in which the piece of meat found itself came in contact with Mashkin, which are Tamei. Midaraisa, Mashkin cannot make a Keli Tamei. It's only Midrabbanon. And therefore, since it's only a Tumah Midrabbanon, that's why Chazal were more machmer. Sefer, however, is talking about Kotchim that got mixed up with Chulin. There we're dealing with a deraisa. Kotchim, Karban Chatos, is an issa deraisa for Zor to eat. And that's why Chazal were more machmer. And the way the Rishonim explain, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, as we discussed in our previous year, is that min b'minoi is never bottle. The Rabbanon disagree, and the Rabbanon say, by an issa deraisa, even it's min b'minoi, it's bottle. And that's why in the Reisha, even though we're dealing with all pieces of chatas meat, it's all min b'minoi. But since the issa is only an issa d'rabbanon, that's why we could apply the halachas of bittel. In the Sefer, even though it's nimucha, even though it's dissolved, but it's min b'minoi. And d'rabbanon, although they're not in total agreement with Rabbi Yehuda when we speak about hilchas bittel, and they are not ready to be mako. They're not ready to be machmer as much as Rabbi Yehuda with min b'minoi. When it's a deraisa, they will agree. So ask the Gemara, according to this, avo tumah sheretz, what's going to be an halacha when we have a tumah deraisa, tumah sheretz? Mai loitala. The halacha ought to be that in such a case, there never will be bittel. So ask the Gemara if that is indeed the halacha, adatani sefer. Instead of the sefer telling us, avo chaticha shel chatas tahira, shnus avo v'mei chaticha shel chulin tahiris, the halacha is loitala, niflik v'nissim v'didah, why didn't the Braisa tell us a bigger chiddush? We should have said, b'med v'mamurim, when do hilchas bittel apply, even though it's min b'minai? That's only when we're talking about Tumas Mashkin. Because Tumas Mashkin is only a Tumad Rabbanon, and therefore, according to the Rabbanon, when it's min b'minoi, but it's a Tumad Rabbanon, we will apply Hilchas Bittel. Avo Tumas Sheretz, were it to have a Tumad Sheretz, which is a Tumad Daraisa, then loy, it wouldn't become bottle. So why, when the Braisa wanted to give us an example of something that doesn't become bottle, did it speak about Chatos Tahira that got mixed up with Chulin Tahira? It could have told us a case where Chatas Tameya got mixed up with Chatas Tahira, but it was Tamei Midaraisa, and there, given that it's Min B'mino, it wouldn't be bottled. Answers the Gemara, as the Gemara said earlier in our shir, Taras Adiflei. The Braisa preferred to give us an example where it was Chatas Tahira getting mixed up with Chulin Tahira, which, as we said earlier, we're in such an example by Truma, where Truma Tahira gets mixed up with Chulin Tahira, the halacha is that everybody agrees that it becomes bottle. So we would say that perhaps this should be the same here as well. That's why the Braisa had to teach us that that is indeed not the case. And by Karban Chatos, if Chatos Tahira gets mixed up with Chulin Tahira, it doesn't become bottle. But indeed, the same halacha would apply if it was Chatos. The same halacha would apply if it was Chatos Tameya that got mixed up with Chatas Tahira, but the Tameya is a Tamei Daraisa, everybody would agree that it's not batel, because everybody would agree under those circumstances we say Min B'Mino is not batel. The Gemara now gives a different teretz why in the Reisha does Rav Shlokesh will be able to understand why the Chatas Tameya that got mixed up with the Chatas Tahira it's batel. Whereas in the Sefer, when it's Chatas Tahira that got mixed up with the Chulun Tahira, it's not batel. Explains Rabbah. Rabbah, Reisha is Isalav. The Reisha, the Isser of eating Kachim that are Tamei, is a Pasuk that says, V'ish Abasa Shiga B'chol Tamei Lo Yoichol. So since it's only an Isalav, Chazal were more lenient. Sefer, where we're talking about Chatas Tahira that got mixed up with Kachim, where there it's a situation of Issacharis, the Isser of eating somebody who's not allowed to eat Chatas, who eats it, is Chayv Karban, is Chayv Karas. That's why Chazal were more Machmer. The Rabba, Huda Amma, Kobma Deraisa, but ask the Gemara, doesn't Rava hold that whenever we're dealing with a Suri Deraisa, we do not differentiate Loshna Isalav, Loshna Issacharis, we're always Machmer? Says the Gemara, indeed, Kasha. That is indeed a question. How do we understand Rabbah's explanation? Ravashi gives a different teretz. Ravashi Yama Sefer Mishim Davidov Eloshesh Matirim. The halacha is that the chatos in the Sefer, where the chatos got mixed up, the chatos Torah got mixed up with the chulin Torah, it's a Davashesh Lematirim. It's something that has, so that you will be allowed to eat it, because Kohanim are allowed to eat all of that. And the Gemara teaches us a new rule. The Kol Davashesh Lematirin, anything that will eventually become mutter, a feel of elef doesn't become bottle. But says the Gemara, V'hod Rav Ashi, what Rav Ashi declared, that this should be considered Davashesh Lematirin, Bedusahi, is actually incorrect. For explains the Gemara, Laman, Ila Koyin, for the Kohanim, the Chulin Tar is mutter, and the Chatas Tahar is mutter. So it's not Davashesh Lematirin. Davashesh Lematirin means something that will eventually become mutter. This is not something that will eventually become mutter. It's already mutter. That's why it's not considered a Davashesh Lematirin. On the other hand, for Yisrael, as far as Yisraelim are concerned, Loilim hu Asur, it's always going to be Asur, because a Yisrael can never eat carbon chattis meat. It says the Gemara, therefore, what Rav Ashi said, Bedusahi. But the Gemara, as we've been learning in our Shurim, in the Hilchas Bittel, is introduced a new concept here. And that is the concept that of Davashesh Lematirin. A Davashesh Lematirin doesn't become bottle. Rashi explains why doesn't a Davashesh Lematirin bottle? Because Rashi says, Acha Techlenu B'Isser Techlenu Beheter. Rashi's explanation is that instead of relying on Bittel and eating it that way, not have any shayla. If it's a davashesh lematirin, we don't have to use bittel. Duran gives a different explanation. He says that what is the explanation of bittel beroiv? He says the explanation of a bittel beroiv that when you have two different types of items that are mixed together, there has to be one overrules the other. And we go with the majority. If the majority is heter, it's considered heter. If majority is isser, it's considered isser. So only if they're two different. So bittel, says the Ran, in order to say the concept of bittel, says the Ran, we have to have a situation where the two items are instinctively diverse. But in a situation, intrinsically diverse. In our situation, where it's a davashesh lematirin, they're not diverse. Because ultimately, they will become mutter. And since the both the fact that it's a davashesh lematirin is enough to say that the fact that it's ultimately going to make it mutter, that means that the two items are not diverse. So our Gemara just taught us a new halacha. And the Gemara says that when something, the definition of a davashesh lematirin is something that will eventually become mutter. But something which is not going to become mutter, as the Gemara said, for the Kahanim it was always mutter, and for the Yisraelim, and it will always remain mutter, and for the Yisraelim it's always going to be Asur, That's not considered a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. So there's a number of interesting halachas based around this concept. The halacha is that meat that you did not salt for 3 days, the halacha is you can no longer to extract the blood, the halacha is that melicha will not work. And the only thing that could work to take out the blood at that point is tzliya, roasting the meat. So the Trumas HaDeshin, Hilchas Melicha, Yerideyah Simen Samach Tes, Sif Yud Beis, discusses what's going to happen if you have a piece of meat that was not salted within the 3 days and got mixed up with other pieces of meat that were salted. And the question is, does it become bottle or not? So we can make an argument that it's a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Because this piece of meat, although it's not salted, and it will never be kosher by salting, because already 3 days passed without salting, ultimately, it will be mutter if you will roast it. So shouldn't that be considered a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin? Says the Trumas HaDeshin, no. If we're going to talk about roasting, so for roasting, it was always kosher. And for cooking, it'll never be kosher. And our Gemara just said that something to be considered Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin means that it will eventually change. Here, it's not something that will eventually change. And since it's not something that will eventually change, that's why we can't call it a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. The Rif discusses about a halacha about Masechta Chulin, that Flamin Beis on Beis, speaks about a piece of bread that was baked together with meat. And now, are you allowed to eat that bread together with kutach? Kutach is the example that always, the Gemara always gives about a dairy dip. And the question is, maybe it should be considered a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Because I don't have to eat this piece of bread with the kutach. I could eat it without the kutach. And then I wouldn't have a question. Says the Rif, this is not considered Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Again, applying the concept that our Gemara just said. Because our Gemara said the definition of a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin is something that ultimately I'll be able to eat. The status will change. The status here is not going to change. This bread is mut is no matter what. And therefore, since it's mut no matter what, therefore it's not considered a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. One more example. The halacha is that if somebody cooked on Shabbos b'mezid, the halacha is that the person himself may never eat that food, the person who cooked it b'mezid. Now, what would be the halacha if that food got mixed up with other food that wasn't cooked on Shabbos? So the question is, will that be considered a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin? Because to other people, they could eat the food, that food, on Matzah Shabbos. So an argument can be made that that's considered Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Because the Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin is, even though the people, nobody could eat from that food on Shabbos, the other people could eat from that food on Matzah Shabbos. But on the other hand, the person himself who cooked it, he'll never be allowed to eat it. And since he will never be allowed to eat it, maybe that should prevent it from being able to be called a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. There's a very interesting vort from the Tzlach, from the Noida Behuda, when he speaks about a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. He says, what is the first place or the primary place that we find in Shas, the halacha of a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin? And that's in Masechta Beya. Masechta Beya, the Gemara speaks about, the Mishnah speaks about Beya Shenol de Beyontov. The question is a muksa or is it not muksa? And the Gemara says that it's a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Because after Shabbos, I wouldn't have a question of Muksa. And since after Shabbos, after Yontif, I wouldn't have a question of Muksa, that's why it becomes a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Says the Tzlach, the only time we say this concept of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin is like a food, an egg. The halacha is an egg is something that can only be eaten once. So specifically, if we apply the concept of Rashi, so Rashi is telling us, instead of eating this egg on Shabbos and Yontif, where we have a question, eat it after Shabbos, after Yontif, when there's no question. But let's say we have a question on something that could be reused. There's a question on a piece of furniture, if it became mukser. Says the tzlach, there we don't say davar sheyesh lematirim. Because the tzlach says, I could use it on Shabbos, and I could use it after Shabbos. So why should I? I cannot call that a davar sheyesh lematirim, that I could use it beheter instead of using it beisser. Because I want to use it both times. And therefore, says the tzlach, that would not be considered davar sheyesh lematirim. Rabbi Kivega disagrees. Rabbi Kivega says that it would still be considered a davar sheyesh lematirim. Another interesting question. How far do we apply davar sheyesh lematirim? The Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Simen Kuf Bei Sif Gimel, speaks about if a non-kosher spoon got mixed up with your kosher spoons, a milchige spoon got mixed up with your fleishige spoons, is that considered a davar sheyesh lematirim? Because you could kasher all the spoons, and then you wouldn't have a question. So instead of relying on bittel, just say davar sheyesh lematirim. So the Shulchan Aruch says that it's not considered davar sheyesh lematirim. And the Ramah over there explains that the reason it's not considered davar sheyesh lematirim, because a davar sheyesh lematirim, the definition is when it happens automatically. The case of the egg, that is a questionable muksa on Shabbos and Yontif. After Shabbos and Yontif, it automatically is no longer muksa. Here I have to do something to make it mutter. I have to kasher. And since I have to kasher, that is not considered a davar sheyesh lematirim. And the basis for this psak of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah is actually a Rashba. But the Shach over there in Sif Katan Ches quotes a Maril who argues on the Rashba and says, since the kashering is not such a difficult issue, it's not so complicated, the halach is that that's still considered davar sheyesh lematirim. Saying that I'm going to have to take the trouble or the time to kasher, which is not so complicated, is not considered davar sheyesh lematirim. The same question comes up if somebody bought a keli from an akum. The halach is that a keli that's bought from an akum, we have to toivel. What happened if that keli that we bought, that has to be taken for tefillas kelim, got mixed up with other kelim? So the same question would come up. Is that considered davar sheyesh lematirim? According to the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, it seems that it's not considered a davar sheyesh lematirim, because it's a bother to take something to a keli, to the mikveh. On the other hand, according to the Maril, we ought to be machmer. And since we have to be machmer, that's why, because it's not such a big deal to take something to the mikveh. But Rav Moshe, in the Shas Tshuva Sigrus Moshe, Yerodei Chelik Aleph Simen Mem Dalid, adds another element to this discussion. Rav Moshe says, in the case where the milchige spoon got mixed up with the fleishige spoons, and according to the Shach, it's not so difficult just to kasher everything, and that's why it should be considered a davar sheyesh lematirim. Says Rav Moshe, but kashering, what would kashering mean? That would mean that I would have to kasher all of them and make them all milchigs now, all fleishigs now. And says Rav Moshe, that there's a famous Magen Avraham Taz, we paskin like, that we're not supposed to kasher something from becoming fleishigs to milchigs or milchigs to fleishigs. That's why that should be taken under consideration. It's a very bechiddush. Because even though indeed the halacha is like Rav Moshe says, that we're not supposed to take spoons, pots, pans, and kasher them just from milchiks to fleishiks, but the halacha is that in a situation where there's a need to do so, let's say you're kashering for Pesach or any other such situation, then there is no issue of kashering back and forth. So here too, when you're kashering the spoons that got mixed up, you're not kashering because you just want to go from milchigs to fleishigs and fleishigs to milchigs. You're kashering because there's a situation that came up that caused you to kasher, and therefore it's not really maybe a case where you're not allowed to kasher from milchigs to fleishigs. So as we discussed in our previous shiur, the machlokes of Yochanan and Shlokish, if truma bizman hazeh is the raisa d'rabbanan, ask the Gemara, and we said that Shlokish's opinion was that truma bizman hazeh is d'rabbanan. And that's why Rish Lakish differentiated between Chaz v'Shoik, that androgynous's wife may not eat, and truma that androgynous's wife may eat, and Rabbi Yochanan did not differentiate. Ask the Gemara, so Rabbi Yochanan truma b'zman hazeh deraisa. Does Rabbi Yochanan hold the truma b'zman hazeh deraisa? V'tanya. The Braisa teaches us, shtei kupas, you have two baskets of grain. Achas chulin, one basket is full of grain, that's chulin, v'achas truma, and one basket is full of truma. Ufneim shtei soim, and in front of them are two stacks of grain, and also here too, achas chulin, one stack is chulin grain, and achas truma, and one stack is truma grain. V'naflu elu b'toich elu. One stack fell into one basket, and one stack fell into the other basket. And we're not sure, did the truma fall into the truma and the chulin fall into the chulin? That would be great. Or is it vice versa? Says the Braisa Re'elu Matarim, we could be lenient. Shani Oimer, we could say that we could be confident that truma l'tach truma naflu of a chulin l'tach chulin naflu. Asked Vamers Rakish, says Rish Lakish, when can we rely on this leniency, shurab chulin ala truma, that when there's roiv chulin versus the truma. So even if we'll have the worst case scenario where the truma fell into the chulin, we could rely on roiv, that midaraisa roiv majority is always enough, a 2-to-1 ratio is enough, and here we could rely on that. Rabbi Yochanan says we don't even have to have roiv. Apishloi Rabbi Chulin ala Truma, we could still assume that the Truma fell into the Truma and the Chulin fell into the Chulin. Explains the Gemara. Bishlama, Rish Lakish, according to Rish Lakish, even though Rish Lakish has been saying in our Shiurim that Truma is manazez the Rabbanon, still Rish Lakish's opinion is, Ksava, but Rabbanon nami Rabu Hudbinin, that even when we're dealing with Issa Rabbanon, we still need a Roiv. El Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that Truma Zman is the Raisa, so we're dealing here with a Suffolk the Raisa, how can we just rely on saying that the Chulin fell into the Chulin and the Truma fell into the Truma? Hamani, says the Gemara, this Braisa is going to be following the opinion of Rabbanan he, that hold that Truma Zman is the Rabbanan. In other words, says Rabbi Yochanan, I agree that there are opinions that hold the truma b'zman hazeh d'rabbanan. I, however, don't paskin that way. And not that I'm like Rabbi Yossi. I hold like Rabbi Yossi that holds the truma b'zman hazeh d'raisa, and I indeed would not agree with the psak of this braisa. Says the word Tanya b'seid oilim. There's a braisa that's called seid oilim, and the braisa says, the pasuk says, Ashe yarshu avasecha v'irishta. Why does the pasuk have to say the word v'yirishta twice? To teach us Yerusha Rishonah v'shniyah, that Klal Yisrael came to Yisrael twice. Once in the time of Yeshua, and once in the time of Ezra. They had the ability, both in those times, they had to be Mekadosh, they had to be Mekadosh at Yisrael. V'shlishis, that the third time, they ain lahem, that is a Kedusha that remains forever. And since the Kedusha that happened when they came in time Yeshua, they had to sanctify Eretz Yisrael. And when they came in the time of Ezra, they had to re-sanctify Eretz Yisrael. But that sanctification remains forever. And since that sanctification, that Kedusha remains forever, the Chi of Truma, of the Raisa, remains forever. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan, Vamer Rabbi Yochanan, man Tana Seid Oilem, who was the author of the Braisa Seid Oilem? Rabbi Yossi. So obviously, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that Truma Bezman Hazeh is the Raisa, and it says Rabbi Yochanan, that's what I hold. So here we learn that the Kedusha Rishayna of the times Yeshua and expired. The Kedusha of Ezra did not expire. So the Rambam explains what's the difference. He says, the Kedusha Rishayna they obtained, they got because of Kibush. Yeshua came into Eretz Yisrael, and he was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael by conquering Eretz Yisrael. And then, when we went into Galus, that unfortunately expired. Whereas, the Kedusha of Ezra wasn't because they conquered Eretz Yisrael. It was because they were given Eretz Yisrael to be a Makom Kadosh. And they were given the right to Eretz Yisrael. That right, they never lost. and they never lost, and therefore it was a Kedusha Bepeh, and that Kedusha Bepeh remains forever. Interestingly enough, that even though we're having this discussion in our Gemara about Kedusha Rishayna, if it's Kedusha Shniya, if it's forever or not forever, and why, everybody agrees that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, that remains forever. And the Rishonim explain why. Because the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash is not because of Kiddush, not because of Kibush, not because we conquered the area. It's not because Peh, it's not because somebody verbally sanctified that area. The Kedusha is because the Shechina was there. And the Kedusha that's there because the Shechina is there remains forever. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, in that Brisa, going back to the Brisa that we were in the middle of explaining, that if we have these two baskets, one Truma and one Chulin, we have these two stacks, one Truma and one Chulin, that one falls into the other, as we assume that the Truma fell into the Truma and the Chulin fell into the Chulin. And the way Rabbi Yochanan interpreted that Brisa is, even if we don't have a Roif, says the Gemara, is that true? The summer of Yochanan, and the reason why he was lenient, because he was going according to the man, the Amr, that holds Trum Bizman Azez the Rabbanon, asked the Gemara, the summer of Yochanan, the Rabbanon Labin and Ruba, the Tanan. The Mishnah teaches us, Mikvah Shesh by Bom Sam Chavonis. We know that for Mikvah to be kosher, it has to have 40 saw. And Mayim Shuvim, water that's not kosher Mikvah water, cannot be used to make a mikveh. Says the Mishnah there. Mikveh shesh by Abam Sa Mechavonis. A mikveh that has exactly 40 saw, which is the shear of a mikveh. For Nosan, and a person put into that mikveh a saw, a meperis. Meperis, a posel for a mikveh. And then notel saw. And then he removed of a saw. So we don't know, we don't have here a mikveh that's 100%, that has 40 saw of kosher mikveh water. Because we assume that the saw that was removed was a mixture of the kosher mikveh water and the meperis. Yet the halacha is the mikveh is kosher. Because since you started off with a proper mikveh, the halacha is that even though you removed the saw, the halacha is that the mikveh is still considered kosher. The Paiskim all point out, all the Mefarshim point out, that the example given is very specific. It's not that we took out a saw and then we replaced it with a saw meperis. If that were to happen, the halacha would be that that mikveh would be possible. We started with a mikveh that had 40 saw. Once you start with a mikveh that has 40 saw, your mikveh is a kosher mikveh. And the halacha is that if you have a mikveh 40 saw of kosher mikveh water, you can add to that mikveh as much as you want, as long as you still have your 40 saw of kosher mikveh water. And here, the Mishnah is going a step further, Rashi explains. And the Mishnah is saying that I'm remaining only with 40 saw, but even though I'm only remaining with 40 saw, since I start with 40 saw kosher water, and now I added a saw, and now I'm taking out a saw, it's still considered kosher. Says the Gemara, how far could you keep on doing that? Ad ruba. You keep on taking it a saw until you get to roiv. My laugh, what does that mean? That the nishtai ruba, that you only did this for 19 saw. So if we did it for 19 saw, we know for sure we have 21 saw of kosher water here. That's where Rabbi Yochanan is makel. But if you would have taken out more, Rabbi Yochanan would be machmer. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan always requires roiv. Says the Gemara, loy, the loy nishka rubai, you shouldn't do it 21 times, because then you'll only have a mikveh of 19 saw. But on the other hand, if you don't have such a case, he would still be lenient. Vibai seima, shani hocha. In our Gemara, there's a very different situation. Because in our Gemara, we have a Shani Omer. We could hope for the best. What do I mean when I say we could hope for the best? We could say that the Chulin fell into the Chulin, and the Truma fell into the Truma. In such a situation, we have every right to be lenient. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, androgynous noisei, that a noisei can marry a woman. In other words, our Mishnah is paskening that an androgynous is considered a full-fledged male. But that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. But Reish Lakish said that we're not so convinced that he's considered a full-fledged male. And that's why Reish Lakish said that the wife of an androgynous may not eat chazav ishoy. But why? What does he do with our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Tani, Reish Lakish doesn't say that androgynous noisei, that androgynous male chatchila marry such a woman, which would indicate that androgynous apidin is considered a full-fledged male. And Mishnah says, im nosa, if he married, then we allow him to remain married. But not that Reish Lakish holds that's l'chatchila. But ask the Gemara, v'noisek tani. That's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said noisei. The Mishnah means that that l'chatchila is allowed to get married. So how are you telling me, how are you changing the wording of the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, tameich. So ask the Gemara, the Mishnah says, avaloi nisa. The Mishnah says that he's not allowed to get married. So the question is, why is that necessary to be said? If the halacha is that we're treating the androgynous like a male, we know that a male could marry a wife. A male could take a wife, but a male cannot become the wife. The chasna has to be that the zocher is koiner than the keva, not vice versa. Elamai nisa. What does the Mishnah have to tell for? To the Eved. The Mishnah is saying that even with the Eved, it would not work. So therefore, says the Gemara, even though when the Mishnah used the word noisei, it doesn't mean al-chatchila situation, that we should treat the androgynous as a full-fledged zocher. It's only with the Eved. Amri loy. Noisei l'chatchila mashma. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says noisei, it means that he's a lachatchila allowed to go marry a wife. Why is he a lachatchila allowed to go marry a wife? Because he's a male. When the Mishnah says loy nisa, it means that eved namiloy, that even by the eved, if somebody married an androgynous as the female, it would not be acceptable. So after understanding the Gemara this way, so the Gemara is clearly showing us that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, that an androgynous is considered a full-fledged zocher. But ask the Gemara. V'amidik tani, sefer, let's continue learning the Mishnah. Rebbe Lezer, I'm androgynous, chayov l'skila k'zocher. That Rebbe Lezer says he's considered a zocher. Isn't that clearly indication, mechlal the Tanakama, that Rebbe Yossi, who said, nois avalai nisa, is not considering him definitively a zocher. Sfuki mesapkele, he's considered a questionable zocher. So how could you say that the opinion of Rabbi Yossi is consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan holds the androgynous a full-fledged zocher? Says the Gemara, no, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Rather, Bein Lamar, both the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, the Tanakama, and Rabbi Lezer are Mifshe Pshitalei, are obviously certain that androgynous is considered a zocher. What is the machlokes? The machlokes is not if he's a zocher or a nekeva. Everybody agrees that he's a zocher. Ikvenayu, the machlokes is regarding a different question altogether. Shkila mishnei mekaymus. If somebody had mishkav zocher with him, mar the Tanakhama holds chayovim of shkila mishnei mekaymus. We know that the isser of mishkav zocher, this isser of a homosexual act, comes with a chi of shkila, and the Tanakhama says that if a male were to have relations with an androgynous, both in the place where he has the simonim of a zocher and in the place where he has the simonim of a nekeva, his halacha would be that you'd be considered mishkav zocher. And Rabbi Lezer holds, Masav, Rabbi Lezer holds bezocher, that it's only considered an act of mishkav zocher if you have relations with him in the place where he has the male organ. In the other place, of course, it would be usur, but it would not be considered an act of mishkav zocher for which there's a chi of skila. But as that's a question in hilchas mishkav zocher. But as far as what is the androgynous status, what gender does he belong to? Says Rabbi Yochanan, everybody in our Mishnah will concur that he falls into the category of a zocher, of a male.